Hi, this is Brian Robinson, and you're listening to the Wobcast, hosted by Wobby.
Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from TCO Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn. Hi, Nate.
Hello, Wobby.
Here to preview the Vikings Carolina Panthers game, which will happen on Sunday at noon Central Time in Charlotte, North Carolina. Before we do that, though, we're going to go through some of the talking points and some of the storylines that happened this week for your Minnesota Vikings. Later on in the show, we'll get to some fan mail, we'll get to some over-unders, three threats. But first, let's review the week. And quite frankly, not a week of good news for your Minnesota Vikings. The hits, they keep coming. Adrian Peterson has knee surgery placed on the injured reserve. His time frame for a return is unknown. Matt Khalil placed on the injured reserve and had surgery on his hip. Sharif Floyd had knee surgery and will be out for a little bit. This on top, of course, of Teddy Bridgewater being injured, of Xavier Rhodes having missed some time. So the injury bug has bitten your Minnesota Vikings early this season, but they're trying to overcome it. They've done so the past 2 weeks with two victories, and they're going to try and do it once again in Carolina. How have they overcome it? Well, they've got the right mindset. Listen to Stephon Diggs as he tells you what that mindset is.
With teams keen on Adrian Peterson the last couple of weeks, that maybe gave you a little bit extra space. You think that's going to be the same without Peterson in the lineup, or how would you assess that?
We got to prepare regardless. I mean, what's happening? I mean, I feel like we got some great backs. You know, we got Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata that can play at a high level. And, you know, regardless of the situation, my job is to get open and play receiver. And if I can open up for my other guys, you know, Jet and all them, and they can go hand in hand. So I think we got some backs that still can play. If not, people don't feel that way. Guess we'll see.
The next man up mentality is the one the Vikings have, and they've added a new man to the mix to help be the next man up at running back. It's Ronnie Hillman. Any of you who watch the Denver Broncos or who play fantasy football definitely know who Ronnie Hillman is. Why? Oh, because he was just the rushing leader of last year's Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos. He can also catch the ball. So, where does he fit with the Vikings offense? Well, don't get too excited right now. We do have Matt Asiata and Jerick McKinnon, but eventually Ronnie Hillman should figure into the mix in some form or fashion. He's a veteran. He knows how to get the job done at this level, and he should be able to help your Minnesota Vikings. Ronnie did meet with the local media this week. Here's what he had to say.
What do you think you, skill set wise, you bring to this offense?
I'm in speed. I've been in 5 years. I've seen a lot of stuff. So, just come out here just to, help the team win. Hopefully go back to a Super Bowl. Go to a Super Bowl.
What's the hardest part about the transition? Is it the new personnel or the terminology?
Probably the terminology right now. Just learning the plays. Today my first day. So, just hearing the new plays kind of, make your head spin a little bit. But, it takes time, but I'll get it.
But you've gone through different coordinators before, so you've been through this. What's the learning curve on that? Does it happen pretty quick?
Yes and no. You hear plays that sound similar to the ones that you hear, and but it's still times where it's gonna happen fast, and you might forget, but it should be a quick turnaround, and I'm ready to get going.
Was there a confidence level that call would be coming?
Oh yeah.
Or was there a little nerves there for a while?
I try not to get too nervous. I can't lie to you and tell you I wasn't thinking about it, but I knew I was gonna get opportunity somewhere. It was just a matter of where and when.
Ronnie, you've been on good teams before. What excites you about a team like this?
They got a lot of young talent here, even with the injuries, they still got a lot of talent, and they're a tough team. I played them last year. I played these guys last year, and defense is great, and just gotta get going.
So, now what with your running game, Vikings fans? Well, Asiata and McKinnon will shoulder the load for now. Now, you do have some experience with those two. That's what they did in 2014. They shouldered the load when Adrian Peterson missed 15 games. So don't be too concerned. Offensive coordinator Norv Turner doesn't sound concerned.
does Jarek's kind of ability in the passing game give you another dimension there?
I think what Matt and Jarek do, I think they complement each other, and I think it's they're two really good football players who have worked really hard to grow, get better, understand. They're real professionals, understand what we're doing. They're both capable of being good pass protectors. They're both good receivers. So, you know, we can mix them however we want. But Jarek, you know, obviously his explosiveness and his ability to come out of the backfield, yeah, we, you know, when it's appropriate, we would try to take advantage of that.
Jarek McKinnon averaged 4.8 yards per carry on 112 attempts with two 100-yard games. In 2014, when Adrian Peterson missed 15 games, Matt Asiata had 10 total touchdowns that year, including 9 on the ground, and he had about 3 catches per game. So there is a drop-off anytime you lose the best running back in the NFL, but fortunately for the Vikings, the drop-off is not too steep for them to overcome. Ronnie Hillman will certainly help, but the meat and potatoes of the effort will be Matt Asiata and Jarek McKinnon for the time being. Now, here's an interesting talker. It can go both ways. Adrian Peterson, not a factor for your Vikings offense right now. So, does that hurt the passing game? Because now teams won't put 8 defenders in the box, and so there will be more defenders in coverage. Or in a roundabout way, does it help the passing game? Because now the Vikings should be able to run with more success since they won't be running against 8 in the box. And when you run with more success, you have more balance. Norv Turner weighed in.
Norv, how much do you think it helped Sam Bradford on Sunday to have the presence of Peterson drawing guys in the box?
Every team's different, and I think Green Bay is going to play the way they're going to play. So whether it helped or didn't help, I don't know how to answer that. I know that Adrian's presence, people are not going to let him run up and down the field, so you have to adapt to that. And then we try to take advantage of it. So, as we go through this, maybe we'll get some better run looks, and that'll help us run the ball at a better level.
So there's your weekly recap. That sets the stage for the Vikings and the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. A lot going on at Winter Park. Lots of people chiming in. We thank Norv Turner, Stephon Diggs, and Ronnie Hillman for chiming in here on the Wobcast.
It was kind of them to join us.
Yes, it was. Thanks, guys. What's next?
Well, we can move on and talk about the matchup this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess it's one last chance to talk about how cool Sunday night was. What was your favorite part about the game, whether that it was the environment, the pregame festivities, the halftime performance, or is Stephon Diggs tearing apart the Green Bay Packers secondary?
My favorite part of the game was the Trey Waynes interception.
That was cool.
Yeah. The crowd went crazy with it. So that, because that ended up not necessarily being the game-winning play because we had to run the clock out after that, and then we had to do like a weird last play of the game where the clock ran out and it was an incomplete pass. But for all intents and purposes, that was the winning play. And I thought it was an appropriate end to the game because Stephon Diggs was great and Kyle Rudolph was great and Sam Bradford threw for almost 300 yards and all that was good. But that game was really about Zimmer and the defense against Aaron Rodgers. And there was some give and take. And Green Bay wound up with 14 points, but really at the end of the day, the Vikings defense did a bang-up job on the Packers. And if not for the blocked punt, which was not the defense's fault, and then a pass interference call in the end zone, which was questionable, I just don't know that the Packers score more than 7 points. And so that's really a nice job by the Vikings defense. And the Trey Waynes interception to me was great because I think from the 10,000-foot view, you would watch that game and you think that Trey Waynes got picked on. But I think bigger picture-wise, he executed the game plan pretty well, is my guess. They were going to give Green Bay a lot of those short completions, and what they were not going to do was get beat over the top, and Trey never got beat over the top, or on the outside. And then when Green Bay was trying to drive at the end of the game, they challenged Waynes on the outside, and Waynes was right there. to defend and intercept what he had been defending all game. The cost of defending that all game was to give up stuff on the inside. And so when they did test him to the outside, Waynes was right there. So that was my favorite part of the game. My favorite non-game action part of the night was the welcome home video. Honestly, it was.
Huh.
And Nate, you produced that video. I know that you got some help with it, but you put that together, and I think that was a really powerful video. And it was a rare moment in a pregame, in an NFL pregame, where people are watching the video board intently. Normally, that is a time of the pregame where people are getting into their seats, or they are using that time before the game to go to the bathroom or go to the concession stand or check their fantasy football lineup or whatever. But there were 66,000 people in their seats watching the video boards during pregame, and I thought that was a really cool moment. How would you answer that question? What was your favorite moment or two?
I thought the whole build up to the game was really, really cool. You could just feel all the energy, and no, it wasn't the actual first game in the stadium, mm-hmm. but it might as well have been, because it yeah. just felt like a totally new atmosphere, an exciting atmosphere. I know our boss, Brian Harper, was one of the big things he was worried about is getting fans into the stadium to see all this pregame stuff, all these videos, all this, just everything that he had planned.
Yeah.
Getting people into their seats by 7 o'clock to see all that. The place was packed at like 6:15. Mm-hmm. Like everybody was so excited to be there. And I mean, cheering the whole time, whether it was the Skol chant, any of the cool moments with the alumni. You had the Gallerhorn sounded yeah. by Bud Grant up there. You had Chris Carter doing the on-field interview that nobody could really hear because people were just cheering so loud yeah. throughout the whole thing. So
Vikings fans love them some Chris Carter.
They do. Yeah. They do, and they should.
Yeah.
He was all right.
Yeah.
So all around, and the win, I mean, just made it
yeah.
that much sweeter. Yeah. So
it was a great
very,
game.
Very cool night.
And it was a great game. I mean, that was, as much as I can sit here and say how well the Vikings defense did, I mean, that was a close battle. That was what people thought would be a toss-up before the game, and at the end of the game with 5 minutes to go, it was a toss-up. So that night was a lot of fun, something that anyone who was there or even who watched it on TV, they'll always remember that. Mrs. Wabi said that, you know, it felt like you were at a party, not yeah. at just a football game. It felt like you were at something different, not just going to the game and watching a game and leaving. Like it was something different. So super cool night. That'll go down in Vikings history. For the player we should be talking about segment this week, Nate, I have a player who performed really well in that game, but who is not being talked about very much. And
let's see. We've already talked about Trey Waynes.
Yep,
we talked about Stephon Diggs a little bit.
Yep.
So rules those two out. Let's see. Sam Bradford's out. We already mentioned him. Mm-hmm. Who could it be?
Jeff Locke.
Okay.
I thought he played a really important role in the game. And I know he's the punter, but he performed really well. And if you look at the raw numbers, I think Jeff Locke is 25th in punting in the NFL. But that just goes to tell you that the raw numbers don't even come close to telling the story, because Jeff Locke right now is on fire, folks. And he was really good in the Green Bay game. Five times he made Green Bay start inside its own 20-yard line with a punt on Sunday night. Green Bay scored on zero of those possessions. He's been a big-time factor in how the Vikings have been able to win the field position battle for the second half in Tennessee and for the entire game against Green Bay. The Vikings have not allowed a touchdown drive from an opponent when they start inside their own 20-yard line. So kudos to Jeff Locke and the punt team. Much maligned Jeff Locke over the offseason, but showing up big time here early in the season. Five of his seven punts on Sunday night downed inside the 20. And in a game of inches, it's important to win in the special teams phases. The Vikings have done that so far this season, and they will need to do that on Sunday in Carolina. The blocked punt was a blemish on the special teams resume from Sunday night, but outside of that, the special teams group was really good. I know that special teams coordinator Mike Prefer agrees with that. So all is well for the Vikings special teams group right now.
All right, now we're going to officially move on to Carolina.
Okay.
On to Carolina.
On to Carolina. We are on to Carolina.
With the first question in today's fan mail, this Sunday could very well be an NFC playoff game this year, says Pablo from Riverside.
Whoa.
NFC playoff game in week three.
Okay.
Could very well be an NFC playoff game this year. Could even be the NFC championship game. Do you think our players have had that in mind coming into this game?
I love where Pablo's going here. I love the mindset and the optimism and the attitude.
You could definitely see it with Carolina. I mean, they did it last year.
Right.
Hopefully you can see it with us, too.
Right. And so I share in the optimism, but no. I think the answer to this question is a hard no. This is such a week-to-week league, and I know that we don't always look at it that way on podcasts or websites or at the water cooler corner of your office. But the players and coaches very much look at this as a week-to-week league. I can guarantee you that, you know, possible playoff preview or NFC Championship game preview has not been thought or uttered or mentioned inside the building, and that's a good thing. They're very much focused on this being their next game, week three. And so while I agree it could be, and both these teams made the playoffs last year, and as you said, Nate, the Panthers were in the NFC title game. That certainly could be the case, but it's not something they are thinking about.
Grant from Eau Claire asks...
Enemy territory.
It is. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sending it in, Grant, right. And thank you for letting us know where you're from.
Right.
You're
thank
brave.
You. Yeah, thank you for representing an enemy territory, Grant.
Grant feels it's important that we talk about Jeff Locke's game on Sunday.
We just did. Yes.
We'll talk about it a little bit more.
Okay.
He's been getting some heat over his performance last year, as you mentioned. And on Sunday, he was consistently pinning the Packers at or around the 10-yard line. Impressive.
It was impressive. It was impressive. Give the entire punt team credit for that. But Jeff Locke, obviously, most prominently involved in that. Now, an interesting stat here that I think bears monitoring on Sunday when the Vikings play the Panthers. The Vikings have forced an opponent to start a drive at or inside the 28 times, and they've allowed 0 scores on those 8 drives. The Panthers have started a drive this season at or inside their 20-yard line the same amount of times, 8 times, and they've scored just 1 out of 8. So as good as this offense is for the Panthers, as good as Cam Newton is, they have not displayed the ability to consistently drive 80-plus yards to score. No team has done that against Mike Zimmer's defense this year. And so if the Vikings can position themselves in such a manner defensively as to make a team drive 80 yards, to make the Panthers drive 80 yards on Sunday, I think they're going to be in good shape and stand a good chance to win the game. So we will continue talking about Jeff Locke. He has been important in the first 2 games, and he will be important on Sunday in Carolina.
Our last question is from someone named Jeff.
Oh, okay.
Not Hello. Jeff Locke, though, probably. I don't know. Maybe he does send questions in.
He might. He might have a pen name, though. And if he had a pen name, I don't think it'd be Jeff.
Right. Yeah. Probably change it up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this Jeff says, my first takeaway is takeaways. Vikes are second in that differential. Mm-hmm. And the team has 6 with 2 touchdowns. That's pretty impressive, especially for a 2-game stretch.
Yes.
That stat is as compelling as there is in football. Win that battle and the most other stats pale in significance. Keep it up. Second, Blair Walsh was perfect against Green Bay. Props to him. If he's going to get grilled over the misses, he should get kudos for the makes. So kudos to Blair and kudos to Jeff. That's a good point.
Very fair. I like this email. He actually had 2 other points in the email to me. They were long-winded. They were good. But they were long-winded slash they just didn't fit with the first 2. So this was a good email that I got from Jeff. I wanted to put it in here. He emails frequently. We go back and forth. But he's right. He said here that stat is as compelling as there is in football. He's talking about the takeaway, the give-take turnover margin. And it really is. I mean, outside of points scored, I would say turnover differential is the highest correlation to winning and losing in the NFL. On average, a team gets 12 or 13 possessions in a game. And so if you are shortening or entirely taking away a possession, you're taking away 1/12, 1/11 of their chances to score. So that adds up in a hurry. Also, when you take it away, you're usually giving your offense a short field. So the turnover margin is a vital stat in the NFL. The Vikings are on the right side of that margin so far. Hopefully they can stay that way. But you got to give credit to the offense as much as the defense for this, because the offense is not turning it over. They have zero turnovers this year. That's a good number.
All right, we'll move on to three threats. The first threat is a huge surprise. Very surprised to see this name, quarterback Cam Newton, threat number one. Tell me why you think Cam can make a difference in this game.
Well, you don't need me to tell you that. Everyone understands that. Cam can do everything you would ask a quarterback to do in today's NFL. He is dangerous. Defending Cam Newton is a lot like some of the talkers we had last week in defending the Packers. You have to rush smartly, stay in your lanes, don't get undisciplined, and leave your gap because Cam will make you pay. So you have to rush Cam intelligently, rush him as a team, not as individuals. Know where your teammates are going to be, and don't do something that will cause the defense to be out of position. Also, just like with what we talked about with Eddie Lacy, you have to tackle well when it comes to tackling Cam. You have to tackle him low and as a team, because he'll break tackles and make you pay when he does. So Cam is the biggest threat in this game. He is the reigning NFL MVP after all.
Threat number two, I won't really say a lesser known member of their defense, but certainly lesser known than Kuechly and Thomas Davis. But defensive end Coney Ealy, had a big Super Bowl performance.
Yeah.
So what can the Vikings look for from defensive end Coney Ealy?
I put him on here for two reasons. One is he's going against TJ Clemmings, not Matt Khalil. So that's new for the Vikings. With Matt Khalil on IR, you're going to see TJ Clemmings at left tackle, and that's the matchup. Coney Ealy is the right defensive end for Carolina. He'll be going against our left tackle, TJ Clemmings. But secondly, when you look at the Panthers' defense and where they are good and the good players and where they play, it is up the middle. It is their defensive tackle, Star Lotulelei, and Kawan Short. They even have some depth there with Paul Soliai. And it's Luke Kuechly and it's Thomas Davis. So those guys are all good players, perennial Pro Bowlers within that group. But Coney Ealy's good too, and if you're not careful, he's going to get you from the edge. And he's really athletic. He made an outstanding play in week one against the Broncos. Virgil Green was wide open in the end zone, and Brock Osweiler was going to float him a pass for an easy touchdown. Coney Ealy, like he was jumping off a trampoline, skyrocketed into the air and knocked the pass down. So super athletic guy, can chase plays down from the backside, can win one-on-one pass rush situations. Watch out for Coney Ealy.
Finally, the third threat, returner and wide receiver Ted Ginn. Had a big year last year. A lot of came basically out of nowhere to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But he's back this year, and he's a guy the Vikings are going to have to keep an eye on.
Yes, because the field position battle is so important, which, you know, we've detailed in the Wobcast how important that's going to be in this game, and Ted Ginn can turn that thing around. He's got a 57-yard kickoff return already. He's an electric punt returner as well. Look out for him, because all of your intentions to win the field position battle can be dashed by one Ted Ginn.
Over-unders this week. The first over-under we have in the wake of the Adrian Peterson injury is a combination of Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata rushing yards.
Okay.
Basically, will their rushing yards add up to 100 or not? So you put the over-under at 99.9.
Yes.
Very precisely and creatively supplied by your outline.
I could have done 99.5, I guess, but I wanted to...
Very precise. No, yeah, this is what we're about.
I wanted to just basically say, you know, basically, is it going to be 100 or not?
Right. What do you think?
I think it will be.
Okay.
And people laugh at that. Whatever, you can do... I can hear y'all laughing at that. But here's the deal. We're not going to have eight-man boxes anymore. So that's over. We should be able to block this thing up a little bit. And after Sam Bradford goes for 280, whatever he went for against Green Bay, I think Carolina's going to be paying attention to him and Stephon Diggs and Kyle Rudolph. And I think Asiata and McKinnon can get the job done on the ground. So I am playing the over on this one.
And this doesn't really relate to this over-under, but we saw in 2014, not only can both guys run the ball, but they're also receiving threats out of the backfield too.
Yes.
So it doesn't help your over on over-under on rushing yards, but something to keep in mind for those of you at home.
I agree. Asiata average, as we said, 3 catches a game in 14. McKinnon can catch the ball well out of the backfield. Asiata very good in pass protection. So now you don't have as much of a tell with what you're going to do run pass-wise based on which running back's in the game. You have a little more unpredictability.
Over-under number two, total points in the entire game,
yep.
43.5.
I'm playing under on this. I think this under. Is yeah. I think this is going to be lower scoring than that. I think both teams will feel each other out for a good part of the first half. You always see an influx of scoring in the fourth quarter, and I'm sure that will be the case on Sunday, but it will not be enough to get them over 43.5. I am on the under.
Over under 3.5 sacks for the Minnesota Vikings. 3.5 times the Vikings sack Cam Newton or fill in the blank. Right. Carolina quarterback.
I really want to go over on this, you know, because I want to have confidence in all of our guys. But he's such a tough quarterback to bring down in the pocket. It's tough. It's tough to say over on this. Oh. I hope, hey, Coach Zimmer, earmuffs. I'm going under.
Okay.
I still think we can win the game. If we're over on this, the Vikings win the game.
I hope so. That'd be sweet.
And I like our defensive line against their offensive line as a matchup. I like us. But I think Cam can escape some of that and maybe get back to the line of scrimmage or gain a yard before he's tackled. So I'm under on this. And if we're over on this, we're winning the game.
Do you think we will win the game?
Yeah.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Do you? Yeah, I think we can.
I think we go down there and we give him a game.
Yeah, I think so.
It will be a fun game. It's going to be what some people would call a slobber knocker.
That it will.
You know?
Probably similar to our first game this year against Tennessee.
Yes, a lot like that. And now the last time we played Carolina, special teams played a big factor in that game.
Just ask Adam Thielen.
2 blocked punts by the Vikings, yes. And I think special teams will play a factor in this game as well. With the great returners that are in this game, and with the emphasis and the quality with which these teams play special teams, I think special teams will be a factor. So can't wait for it. The game is at noon on Sunday, Central Time. It'll be televised by Fox. Chris Myers will have the call. But you can also catch the game on the Vikings Radio Network with the pregame starting at 10 a.m. Central. Mike Musselman has the pregame for you, and then Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, Greg Coleman, and Ben Lieber will bring you the game from 12 to around 3 o'clock on Sunday on the Vikings Radio Network. Before and after the game, of course, make sure you pay attention to the Vikings Entertainment Network and Vikings.com for coverage of the Vikings. We will have Mike Zimmer's postgame press conference on the site and on the Vikings app, so you can check that out. Nate and PA and I will provide the Gatorade Between the Lions postgame report from Bank of America Stadium right after the game. So lots of fun and action to be had here over the next few days. And you are at Vikings.com and the Vikings Entertainment Network right now, and that's where you should be for the duration of the weekend to catch coverage of the Vikings game. Okay, our work is done. Yours has just begun. We thank you for listening to this edition of the Wobcast. We'll be back next week with another edition. Until then, have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. See you later. So, yeah!